Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Miraculous things happen at the feet of Jesus. Whatever it takes to get you and me at the feet of Jesus, let it come. That's where miracles happen. That's where we're in range for Him to touch us. And how the whole world needs to be touched, needs to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. When we have a right relationship with Him, we realize that's a primary thing that we do. Just say, Lord, I'm flat on my face. I'm on my knees. I'm waiting. I'm at the feet of Jesus. Healing, 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 healing.
The truth is, Jesus brings healing and forgiveness. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message called Deep Healing. He's encouraging you to spend time at the feet of Jesus and begin to see yourself differently. Keep listening for that message on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we hear from Dr. Young, as an heir to all of God's promises in Christ, you have immense spiritual wealth, and you don't have to wait for heaven to experience it. Dr. Young wants to help you live victoriously in God's promises every day by sending you his book, Living Under the Rainbow, How to Claim God's Key Promises for Your Life. You'll discover that God's promises aren't otherworldly, abstract ideals, but real, practical promises you can put into practice today. We'll send you Living Under the Rainbow as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Deep Healing, Part 2.
Matthew says that this miracle took place following his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, so there'd be thousands present. And the leper could not go into a crowd, but evidently this leper just lowered his head unclean and ran to Jesus, and you can be sure the crowd parted. Unclean, unclean, he ran to Jesus and fell at his feet. And what did he do? First of all, he fell at his feet and he worshiped. That's where we begin, folks. I want to worship. I want to feel. I want to know the... He worshiped and then he confessed, I'm unclean. And then he had faith. He said, Lord, if you want to, you can heal me. You can do it if you want to. That was faith. And what did Jesus do? Instantly, he healed him. Worship, confession, I'm unclean, bang. I have faith, bang, healing. And then Jesus told him to go and show himself to the priest, and the priest would be the one in that day who would affirm that he has indeed been healed. Evidently, his leprosy was extreme part. And you can imagine his hands were worn. Leprosy, we call it Hansen's disease. You lose feeling in all your nerve endings. Therefore, you put your hand in hot water. You do not know it hot. It's hot. And you get harmed. And you lose sense of pain. And a period of time, there's depreciation of your faith in your hands and your limbs. And advanced leprosy is a horrendous physical presence. This is where he was. Can you imagine? All this came back, and he runs and finds the priest, and the priest comes. He shows himself to the priest. His skin is like a baby's skin, and the priest says, all right, now we've got to get things right according to Moses. You can read in Leviticus 13 and 14 what then happened. A 7-day celebration of healing. A 7-day celebration. And what the first thing they would do, the priest would say, yes, evidently you've been healed. And then they would go and get 2 birds. And they would take 1 bird and they would kill it and make sure they capture all the blood of the bird in a little pot. And they put in that pot cedar and hyssop and a scarlet thread. And they would take that blood and they would capture all of it and they would put it on the healed leper. And 7 times they would touch him with the blood and say, clean, 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 clean. Then they would take that blood and put it on the other bird that was alive, and that bird would fly away, a picture of freedom and new life now that healing had took place. And then the leper would shave all the hair off his body and wash his clothes, and he would go back into the village, back into his hometown, back into the area, and they would celebrate. He was dead, he was alive. He was a leper and he's been healed, and all the town would celebrate. His family would welcome him and hug him and touch him because he hadn't been touched except by Jesus in years. And then what happened in that town? Then the leper, after 7 days of celebration, would find three perfect little lambs without blemish. And they would kill those lambs as a sacrifice for burnt offering, for sin offering, and for guilt offering, so the leper could now be reestablished in the synagogue and be able to worship God. Before this, he could not even worship God. And then they would take that blood and they would put it on his ear from one of the lambs. They put blood on his thumb and blood on his big toe. Then they would take oil and they would seal the blood on his ear and seal the blood on his thumb and seal the blood on his big toe. And that would say, now you can once again hear the word of God. You've been healed. Now your hands can glorify God and your feet will be enabled to walk where God wants you to walk. And then the leper would come and shave all the hair on his head and all of his eyebrows. And then they would sing and give praise to God as he restored again to worship in the synagogue. 7 days. Can you see the symbol of this? Now he was like a baby. It's like a brand new life, a clean life, a pure life. It all came about because at the feet of Jesus, Jesus touched him. In the Old Testament, when someone who was clean touched someone who was unclean, the person who was clean became unclean. But with Jesus, when he touched him who was unclean, now he who was unclean became clean. See the difference? This is a prelude of the cross. Jesus took all of our leprosy, our sin, our uncleanness upon himself so that we might be clean. All in the touch of Jesus. In the touch of Jesus. I got a question for you. Remember our premise here, this second big miracle? He said, when we come in relation with Jesus, we don't see people as we saw them before. You think that leper saw people suffering as he did before he had leprosy and was healed? You think he looked at suffering differently? You think he looked at people who were economically struggling differently? You think he looked at people who had emotional problems? You see, he saw other people with brand new eyes, did he not? Because the touch of Jesus, he'd gone from being unclean to being clean. Ah. So you get in relationship with Jesus, I get in relationship with Jesus. We see ourselves differently as Peter did. And we see others differently, we can be sure the leper did he not? There's nothing like someone who has cancer and somebody's been cured of cancer. Go to MD Anderson, the person who's been cured, those who have the ailment, they just flock around them. How did it happen? How did it feel? And they rang that bell indicating healing. You see, this leper was never the same because he'd been touched by Jesus. Peter was never the same. He'd been touched by Jesus. It all began at the foot of the Lord. Now look at this third big miracle here. This tells us something even more interesting. In a right relationship with Jesus, it means we've been saved, we're salvaged, we're in God's family, we're saved. We not only see ourselves differently, we see others differently, we see the whole world with different eyes. Look at this third miracle. Verse 16, Luke 5. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. And one day he was teaching. There were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. In front of him, where would that be? The feet of Jesus. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, and they went up to the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus, the feet of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you." And the Pharisees and the scribes begin to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Follow me, your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man," the first time Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, "has authority on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home." And immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Great story. Most of us are familiar with it. I call this the ministry of the mat. That's probably not original to me, but I just think about those four guys, got their buddy on that mat, each one carrying a corner, and they, we don't know how far they went. They just heard Jesus was in this house teaching. They're going to take him there and see if Jesus would heal their buddy. Boy, they loved him, didn't they? Boy, to have friends like that. But they got there. It was so packed, they couldn't get him to the feet of Jesus. So they not only loved him, but they were tenacious. I like tenacious love. You know, some of us say, "Well, we've carried you this far. We tried. That's the best we could do. You just can't get to the healer. You know, no way to get up there. It's too crowded." But they went around back, and they went up with their tenacity and got on the roof. They had stairs in medieval homes. In these Middle Eastern homes, you'd go up on the roof. That's very common. And they got up there, and then they got real creative. They began to cut a hole in the roof. I'd imagine standing there, Jesus teaching, and man, all of a sudden, the roof is opening. What in the world? And dust and men, all the dirt coming. They would pack about 2 feet, by the way, of dirt there on the beams, and they moved the tiles away, and dirt was falling. Jesus was teaching, and the crowd must have said, "What in the world is happening in here? Somebody up there." And then all of a sudden, they lowered him down on ropes, boom, right at the feet of Jesus. Whoa, here. What a deal. And Jesus says, their faith, look at it, their faith has made you whole. Not the man's faith, but their faith. And then we see an amazing thing happen. He looked at him and said, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, two groups were upset about that. First of all, the four guys who brought him, they said, "Look, this sin business is all right, but why don't you just say walk? We came here for him to walk, not to get his sins forgiven." Oh, no, no, no. And then the Pharisees were upset. They said, "You know, who is he to forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin." The Pharisees were right. Who can forgive sin? Only the person who's been sinned against. I got three boys, Ed, Ben, and Cliff. For illustration, let's just say that Ed hit Ben, and he hit him and hurt him, and Cliff says, Ed, Ben forgives you. Ben says, no, I don't. I'm the one that got hit. You can't forgive on my behalf. You see, the person who's been offended is the person who has to forgive. The Pharisees had it right. All sin is against God, ladies and gentlemen. If I lie, I'm lying against God. That's the primary source. So here we see Jesus was claiming to be God in that he was forgiving sin. And then he gave him a riddle. He said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk? Well, the Pharisees said, well, just say your sins are forgiven. That's a spiritual thing. Who can know about that? But walking, I mean, that's an impressive thing. Jesus was saying, let me tell you something. The big deal is the forgiveness of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever ailments you have, whatever problems I have, whatever difficulties we have, whatever tensions we have, how we've been abused or accused or we're backward or whatever is going on, the most important thing is not all of this. The basic bottom line is begin with forgiveness of sin. That's it. We go to the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And then he said, get up and walk. That's the priority. Whether he walked or not, he did here, he was still whole. He was still complete. He still got it right. And you can be sure this paralytic now looked at the whole world with different eyes. The basic problem is always a rebellion against the plan and the purpose and the will of God. We call it doing our own thing. We call it sin. And here we see that Jesus touched him. Get up, walk, and he did. Jesus touched him. There's something about the hand, the touch, the word, the command of Jesus that heals inside. That's the most important place. And in his economy on the outside, that's the second most important place. Healing, 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 healing. We need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. It's a place where you get things right, your life gets in. Just say, Lord, I'm flat on my face, I'm on my knees, I'm waiting, I'm at the feet of Jesus. And miraculous things happen at the feet of Jesus. Whatever it takes to get you and me at the feet of Jesus, let it come. That's where miracles happen. That's where we're in range for him to touch us. And how the whole world needs to be touched, needs to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. When we have a right relationship with him, we realize that's a primary thing that we do. There's a Holocaust museum in Houston. It brings back memories of the concentration camps in Nazi Germany when millions of Jews as well as Protestants were burned and slaughtered and just horrendous things happened. A soldier went there recently who was in World War II, and he said he was a part of the original group that went to one of these concentration camps. The Nazis had long since left, and said found there thousands of people starving to death. He said it was a sight of pain and suffering like he'd never seen before or since. Just thousands of people. He said we didn't have enough water or food to minister their needs. He said they were everywhere. He said I stood there not knowing what to do, not having anything to do anything with. He said finally I just turned around and the one closest to me, I hugged them. He said, then I just turned and hugged the next one. And he said, a line formed just to be touched. Oh, just to be hugged. Just to have a new life, to be healed, to be cared for inside and out. He said, a long line formed. These just waiting to be hugged. The touch of Jesus, the hug of you, the hug of me, transformed to others, has miraculous power. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? Two? Only two? And who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for only three?" But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin, he played a melody pure and sweet, as sweet as the angel sings. And the music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone," cried he. And the people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" And many a man with life out of tune is battered and torn with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A bowl of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. His touch.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we end today's program, Dr. Young is in the studio to share more proven truth about Christ's healing presence. Dr. Young, you've mentioned that as Christians, we should be in the same business as Christ when it comes to comfort and healing. What might it look like for a listener to follow Christ's example today and come alongside people in their pain?
Just think, if you're a Christian, you've received Christ, this means you have the eternal God, think about it, God Himself in your life. His Spirit is in your life. Just think about it. You have the power of the creative God who spoke and all the world came into existence. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life who took Jesus, who died, and brought Him back to life. Is that enough power? That power unleashed in the world, healing, touching, forgiving, encouraging, that's God in action through the Holy Spirit. Think about it. In you, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you have supernatural power. Use it in conversation, in every event of your life. Think about the power that can be unleashed if we'll call upon Him to speak through us and to use us anywhere, anytime, any way. What a high privilege we have to have the power of God within us.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your walk with Christ, and we'd love the chance to take you further by sending you Dr. Young's book, Living Under the Rainbow, How to Claim God's Key Promises for Your Life. Hebrews 6:19 teaches that God's promises are an anchor for the soul, and this resource will help you feed your soul and nourish your spirit so you can anchor your life in the promises of God. We're excited to send you a copy of Living Under the Rainbow as thanks for your gift to help keep this ministry strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares how you can live a life of gratitude because of what Jesus has done for you.